Proverbs 13, verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you so much for your wonderful love for us and what you've let us be a part of today here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for those fine folk who baptized, followed you in believers' baptism, Lord. We thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for just being here and being in this place and hearing the Word of God. And Lord, just thank you for the fellowship we have with God's people. Now, once again tonight, though, we need you, Lord. We need your power, your wisdom. We need you to work mightily, Lord, tonight, and so that you'll get accomplished what you want accomplished. Thank you so much. And we do this in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, we're preaching a message on treasures and inheritances. Kind of extending a little bit of the message from last week, and we preached on treasures and tithing. We'll kind of finish up. If you wasn't here last week, it'd be kind of like maybe you come into the middle of it a little bit, but we'll do our best to catch us up here, and then we'll go on into the message on inheritance. But I believe with all of my heart that when God's people when we get saved, we need so much to be taught from the Word of God, what we're to do, how do we act, what do we do in certain situations. And that's what the responsibility of the preacher is, and to help you and to teach that to you. Now, I'm not saying you don't know all of these things, but we need to constantly search the Word of God and teach us so we'll know how to live for Jesus after we get saved. Amen. A lot of things that people don't understand. I wouldn't have understood the principle of tithing before I was saved. I wouldn't have understood that. Not completely, not fully. We don't expect them to. You understand that? But you see, when we get saved, we begin to understand some things, what God wants for us, and we begin to grow. Now, I've learned that giving is one of the greatest blessings that a Christian can have. It's not a drudgery to give. It's a blessing to give. It's an honor to give. Now, folk may not understand that. Maybe they haven't come to that place where they understand that yet. But it's a blessing to be able to give, you see. That strengthens your Christian life. And so we're going to kind of continue in that tonight. I want you to know Jesus loves you. He cares for you. God loves you very, very much. Amen. And he just wants you to live for him and get the benefits that he has for us. And they're many. They're multitudes. And so tonight we'll just kind of continue on that. All right. American Christians, there's a research group out called Barna. Now, whether you've ever heard of it or not, but Barna is a research group that researches church things and finances and all kinds of things like that in the church. And here's what they said. One of the things that they said, and this was in 2001, they said American Christians give an average. This is people who confess that they're a Christian. Give an average of 2-3% of their income to the church. That's an average. That's what it says, okay? Another thing they said, among the born-again people, we're talking about people who say they're saved. They're born again, they're ready for heaven. Said there was a 44% rise in those who gave nothing compared to 1999. They gave nothing. Now, that doesn't mean that 44% of the people gave nothing. It was a 44% rise of what was in 1999. It raised 44% of that gave absolutely nothing to the church. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to believe, but that's the way it is. Another thing said per capita donation to churches dropped by 19% in 2000. Began to drop. Another thing is said, one-third of the born-again adults said they tithed in the year 2000. But a comparison of their actual giving and household incomes revealed that only one-eighth of them did. Understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to share some facts with you, trying to help you to understand it's a serious business. The greatest, if you want to call it a business, but the greatest business in the world is church business, the getting people saved. If we don't get that job done, we've failed. Amen. We got to get folks saved. Amen. We just got to do that. Now, that's our job. That's the purpose of the church. And in our Sunday school class this morning, we was talking on the importance of the church, but what kind of church to look for. And one of the things was, if you're going to look for a church, you better look for a church that cares about souls, that has some programs to go out and get people saved, win them to Christ. You see, you don't want an old dead church that don't do anything for God. Oh, no, no, no. You want a church that goes out and wins people to Christ and gets boys and girls in on buses and all those kinds of things and gets them in to hear the Word of God. That's what it's all about. You understand that. Amen. So we just kind of want you to understand, if we don't get the work of God financed, it's not going to get done. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why God has set up the program of tithing. Amen. Now, if you wasn't here last week, like I say, we preached, and I believe it was helpful last week on tithing, because we even used Abraham here as an illustration out of Hebrews and out of Book of Romans, and we used all things. Not going to go back and preach them, but I'm hopeful it was a blessing to you and a help to you, just to help you to understand. You see, your preacher's not getting up and lambasting you, begging for anything. We're trying to teach you how to live for God. Amen. And the blessings of God that can be on your life if you do that. One of the things I want to say before we get into the part of the inheritance, I want you to understand that tithing is only, when you talk about giving, tithing in a church is only the floor. It is not the ceiling. It should be considered the floor. That's where you begin at. Tithing is a tremendous thing, but let me say to you, it ought to never be the floor or the ceiling. You ought to just shoot for that, the ceiling, and let God bless your life, because He will. Amen. He will do that, you see. Over in Malachi, I'm not going to turn there, but you remember we turned there last week in Malachi. The question was asked when God said, "You robbed me." The question was asked, "Where have we robbed thee?" And God said, "In tithes and offerings." Now, I want you to understand something. For us to give less than what God expects us to give is robbery. God, if you're a Christian, I'll guarantee you one thing. If you're a Christian, yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, you know when God wants you to give. No, you know that. You have to know that. If you're yielded to Him, if you ask Him and say, "God, I want to know what You want me to give. I want to do, and I want to be faithful, and I want to be obedient." You'll know. And I guarantee you one thing, it'll never be less than a tithe. It'll never be less than a tithe. Amen? But you'll know that, because your heart will know what God is speaking to you about and how to give. Now, you know, there's some people say, "Well, I think I'm going to start off this tithing thing." You know, a tithe means a tenth. That's what it means. A tithe is a tenth. Amen? And you know, some people say, "Well, I think I'm going to start into this easy, you know, and I'm just going to start with 5%. You know, I'm just going to give 5%. We're going to test God out and see." Well, that's like saying, you know, "Last year I only robbed 6 banks, but by the grace of God this year I'm only going to rob 3. Amen? You know, we're not trying to get you to rob God less. We're trying to get you not robbing. Amen. I mean, you think that's right? Yeah, we don't want, you know, don't start with 5%, 6%, or 7%, or even 9%. Go with 10. Yeah, that's a good place to start. See, because why? We don't want to rob God. If you know the Bible, you see, if you're not familiar with the Bible and you don't understand these things, you won't understand that. But if you know the Bible, you know that God expects us to give 10%. That's what the Bible says. And if you're a Christian, you've been around for a while, and you've been practicing that, you don't have any trouble with that. When preacher gets up and talks about that, you'll have no trouble with it whatsoever, because you know it's biblical. You know it's the truth of the Word. All right, I want to go back to the book of Deuteronomy, and I want to give you a little bit of a principle about giving. Chapter 16, did I give you that? Deuteronomy 16. And I want to read to you, and of course this was back when they was the Israelites, but I want to show you a principle here. Just show you a principle. In verse number 10 of chapter 16 of Deuteronomy, it says, "And thou shalt keep the feast of the weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a free will offering of thy hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee." I want you to note it. The Word of God teaches in the Old Testament, teaches in the New Testament, as God has prospered you, as God has prospered us. That's why, that's the way He wants us to give. And even here in that verse of Scripture, He said, according as the Lord thy God has blessed thee. Amen. That's why some folk give less than other folk, is because their income is not as great as someone else's income. We'll talk about that in a little while. But as God has blessed you, you ought to give. Amen. And in verse number 16, he says three times a year shall all thy males appear unto the Lord thy God in the place which ye shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he had given thee. He was talking about a free will offering. He wasn't talking here about the tithe. The tithe is God's. It was things, if you remember last week, it was a devoted thing. The tithe is a devoted thing. It was not something that was sanctified that we set aside. We're going to set aside this and give it to God as an extra gift. We're going to do that. No, the tithe is devoted. And he's talking about here, free will offering. This is something you've decided, or I've decided, we're going to give the Lord. And God says, according as we are able to do so, we ought to give to the Lord. Amen. That's just simply a principle. Now let's go back over into the New Testament in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 16th chapter, excuse me. 1 Corinthians 16th chapter. Listen to what he says in verse number 1 and verse number 2. Listen very carefully. This is the Bible, the Word of God, okay? And he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The Bible says we're to come and we're give offerings according as God has prospered us. Amen. There's folk whom God has prospered, tremendously prospered. And we ought to give accordingly as God has prospered us. That's not talking about your tithe. That is there because God has already, that's a devoted thing. God's already got his hand on that. God's already said, that's mine. Amen. But the giving and the free will offerings and the offerings, as he talks about there in Malachi, God expects us to give. Amen. And according as God has prospered us. You see, I want you to understand something. God is interested, yes, in what we have, but he's also interested in what we have left. I want to give you an illustration of that. Let's say here, Aaron, you make $200 a week. He said, I wish. But let's just say, but you're a family man now. You've got to support your family on $200 a week. All right? Now, Ben over there, he makes $1,000 a week. He's a family man also. Now, let's just talk about this, give you an illustration. Aaron figures it out, $200 a week. How much is that on tithe? $20. That's right. Aaron says, I got to give $20. That's right. It's a tithe. So that leaves him $180 left. Right? Amen. And then he says, you know what? I want to be a good Christian. I want to give $5 offering on top of that. So that leaves you with $175. Ben over here says, I've got $1,000 to work with. And he said, and what's a tenth of that, Ben? $100. Boy, that sounds like a lot of money. Now, he says, I'll give $100 because that's my tithe. That's what I'm supposed to give. He says, I'll do like Aaron did. I'll give a gift of $5 as an offering unto the Lord. Now, Ben over here still has $895 left. Aaron has $175 left. Now, what I'm saying to you is, I don't believe God would say to Ben, give a $5 offering. You see, God is interested not only in what we have, but he's interested in what we have left. You know, I told you here a while back, I told you in one of our messages, we pretty well set and determine our income. Now, you say, Brother Ross, you know, I went to my boss and I've tried to determine that and he won't go along with it. Amen. He won't do what I've said. But let me say to you, what income you do get, you do determine what you keep. True? You determine what you keep. You decide what it is you're going to give away to the Lord's work. You already know the tithes is His, but you determine how much then you're going to give in offerings unto the Lord. You and I determine that. Amen? So I'm just trying to share with you, I'm trying to get you to understand that giving is something that must come from the heart. And God expects more from those who make more than He does for those who don't make as much. That's why He was so taken back and pointed out to that dear widow lady to come up and give her two mites into the treasury, when the rest of them had come and Jesus said they gave of their abundance. But she's give more. She gave all she had. See, there's a difference there. We're not talking about salvation now. We're talking about Christian living and Christian giving. So we've got to determine what God wants us to do. Amen. That should be determined by every single individual. And being very sensitive to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us of what He wants us to give. And be conscious of the fact that if we've made a lot more than some of these other folk made, we're responsible for more. Amen? Why, sure we are. You see, and let me tell you something else. You know, I think it was Nancy told me that all at once one day she just decided she was going to play the piano. So she just started playing just like she is right now. How many people believe that? Kelly Hodge told me she just picked up a flute one day and she just began to play, and she's been playing the flute like that all of her life. Everybody will laugh and say, no, that's taken a lot of practice to get where they are in their music. Amen? I want to tell you the truth. It takes practice to learn how to give. You have to practice it. I'm serious about it. You've got to learn. I'm a much better giver than I was years ago. I've learned how to give. You say, Brother Ross, how do you give? Let me tell you just a little bit the way I do it. Every Monday, tomorrow morning, I will sit down and write a tithe and offering check. All right? But that's not the end of my giving. I give in every offering that comes by here. And let me tell you something. Sometimes I swallow hard because I'm sitting over there and I'll say, Lord, in the offering tonight. Now, remember, I've already put my tithe and offering check in. And I'll say, Lord, what you want me to give tonight? And sometimes the Lord will tell me really more than I'd figured on. And so I kind of swallow and I say, okay, Lord. You know, sometimes He'll say, Brother Ross, won't you put a $20 bill in tonight? I've had Him tell me to put 50 in. Now, that don't go on my tax receipt. That just goes in the offering. I've had God do that many times. So that's what I want you to give tonight. And then God opens up opportunities for me as a pastor over and over to be a giver. Time and time again, God opens up opportunities for me to give. I'm not telling you that to brag. I'm telling you, you've got to learn to practice to be a giver. You've got to learn to be a giver and be conscious of the Holy Spirit of God that speaks to your heart and says, give here. You know, I don't know your practices. I don't know whether you allow God to speak to you like that. But I want to tell you right now, if you'll do it, it's a blessing. It's a blessing thing. It really is. You need to just listen very attentively to the Holy Spirit of God, and He'll speak to you and say, give here, give there. Do this, do that. Oh, it's sweet. One day here a while back, I thought I was supposed to give to somebody, and I took the bill out of my pocket and I stuck it in my front pocket so I could get to it easy. I walked up to them and was talking to them, and it was like God said, don't do it. I don't want you to right now. That wasn't anything against that person, but I think it was what it was. It was I kind of thought I ought to give there, but God said no. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit of God, and He'll teach you. He'll help train you to be a giver. So learn to be a giver. Amen? Let God speak to you. See, it's a wonderful thing. To walk with God and just let Him talk to you and tell you. You see, it's not just what we put into an offering plate. And that's wonderful. That has to be. Now, I believe in giving tithes and offerings to my church. I believe it's right. That's what I want to do. But also, there's other times I put into the offering plate, but there's other times I give. Because God says to give. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be a giver at heart, you see. and God will so help us in that. You need to practice giving. If you're going to get good at anything, you're going to have to practice it. Amen? And giving is no different, you see. Not only that, it may become, and let's get into the inheritance here just a little bit. It may be that you say, Brother Ross, you know, I'm not going to worry a whole lot about it. I'm going to give my tithes and offerings, but I'm going to put my church in my will. Now, Brother Joe could get up here and take over the sermon right now, and he could begin to preach because he goes around this country and talks about that. And listen, I'm for that. I want to tell you something. I'm for that. I'm for the fact that when we ought to give unto our church, it's a wonderful thing for us to leave something to the church. Let me say this to you. I don't think I got any millionaires in here. I don't think I have to worry about this, but I don't think it'd be good for us to get $1 million left to the church. Well, it wouldn't be good. You know what people do? They'd stop tithing. Oh, yeah, they'd stop tithing and say, we got all the money we need. That's why God, when I say keeps us on level, he keeps us more on the poor area. He does that so that we'll all keep tithing, keep giving. But at the same time, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? I've got in my mind. I don't know if it'll take place. It doesn't make any difference, but it's in my mind. You know, a preacher has to have a vision. Has to look to the future all the time. I'd like to build one more building here. Not going to tell you about it, but I'd like to build one more building here. I really would like to do that. But wouldn't it be nice if someone, well, not that they passed away, but wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if by chance they would, that they'd leave enough money to build a building? Wouldn't that be nice? I'm just saying to you. You understand what I'm saying? Things like that be nice, but I'm saying to you, it wouldn't be good for us to have a whole lot of money extra. People quit giving. Oh, yeah, they depend on the fact you got a big fat bank account there, so don't worry about it. And so I don't have to give. I can go spend it the way I want to spend it. No, that's not the way God does it. You understand what I'm saying, you see? So let me just say this, though, about leaving money to the church after you die. It doesn't take a whole lot of faith to part with your money after you're dead. I mean, did you ever think about that? I mean, you say, well, Brother Ross, I'm going to give all this money, you see, to the church after I die. Well, it don't take a whole lot of faith because, I mean, you're not going to need it anyway. Amen. There's a little saying, do your giving while you're living. So you'll know where it's going. Amen. You see? So I've just messed up Joe's whole seminar. Amen. But anyway, what I'm saying to you is simply this. You know, it's good for us to do those things while we're living. Give to the work of God while you're living, you see, as God so directs you to do that. I think it's a right, it's a proper thing to do. You see, really, death does end your chance to give of what you have. That's the last time that you'll be able to give. That's it. Amen? All right. And so anyway, I want to give you a little illustration here about what John Wesley said. You're all familiar with John Wesley. He said, money never stays with me. It would burn me if it did. I throw it out of my hands as soon as possible, lest it should find its way into my heart. That's what John Wesley said. And his philosophy was this. And he received a lot of book royalties while he was living. But he gave, his philosophy was this, to give generously while he was here and leave very little when he left. That was his philosophy. That's what he believed in. You see, well, I think there's a lot of truth to that. We got to be careful with that, but I believe there's a lot of truth to that. Now, you remember in a message I preached on the treasures, we talked about some of the rewards. And I'm not going to go back over all them, but we read about the rewards, and God said, you shall have rewards in heaven. Amen? You remember I used the illustration, I think it was last week, when I talked about the rich young ruler who had all of these riches. And Jesus said, you go sell them, give them to the poor, and your treasures will be great in heaven. What he did was, those riches that he had, if he would have given them to the poor, he would have transferred them from his bank account to heaven's bank account. So the thing is, what we're saying to you is, if you want to lay up treasures in heaven somewhere, you're going to have to transfer them. You have to make them treasures. Amen? You have to turn them into treasures. Now, some of the things we talked about, you see, Jesus said, we'll make you ruler over many things. Some, he said, to make you ruler over cities. We believe that's during the millennial reign. And he tells us there's five different crowns that we can win. You see, I believe we'll take those crowns and we'll cast them at the feet of Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. But yet we ought to gain them for his benefit. Amen. But he talks about the good works that we do, that there'll be rewards for the good. I'm not talking about salvation. Amen. I'm just talking about Christian living, you see, living for God. But he talks about the good deeds that we do. He talks about even persecution, accepting persecution. There's rewards for that, God said in his word. We find also over and over in the word of God, if you give to the poor, God said you'll have treasures in heaven. You see, that's one of those things. He talks about even our enemies, the way we treat our enemies. He says we'll have rewards in heaven. You read that over in Luke, the 6th chapter. So I'm saying there's a lot of things that God says about rewards. Well, I mean, I just believe we ought to turn things that we have here into treasures. We'll be glad when we do that in heaven. We'll be glad about that. Amen? All right. Then we read our text, and I think now I'm about ready to get to it. I'm not going to keep you a long time, but I want to get to it. And we're in Proverbs, the 13th chapter of Proverbs. And I want you to read it. I want to read it again. He said, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Once again, you say to me, you say, Brother Ross, now listen very closely tonight. I'll talk fast. I'll get this done. But I want to share something with you. I want to share a principle with you. Now, you may look at me and you may say, well, Brother Ross, my children's going to kill you before the day's over. And they may. They may be ready to do that before I'm done. But you would ask the question, should I leave everything that I have to my children? It is my advice that I would tell you no. Now I'm going to explain to you why. Understand something. Everything that you have left here, it is not treasures until it's turned into treasures. Leaving them to your children only become treasures when they take them and put them into God's work. It's the only time they become treasures. You see, I've told you before, you leave $1,000 bill in your pocketbook when you die. That's okay. If you had $1,000, that's fine, but it's never going to become a treasure unless somebody takes that $1,000 and applies it to the work of God. No, you've just lost it. It's just gone. Understand what I'm saying? See, I'm trying to help you here. See, so the things that we leave behind is not treasures unless whoever gets them turns them into treasures and makes it something that would benefit heaven's work. Then it becomes a treasure. Okay? Now, I want to read a little paper here, but listen very carefully. When we talk about leaving an inheritance to our children's children, I want you to listen to me. You may look at it and you may say that is material inheritance. That's not what God's talking about. Now, I realize the Jews of old left material, they left properties mainly to their children and their children's children. They all worked together. In fact, they lived together. If they didn't pass that property down, these youngsters are coming up would not have anything whatsoever to go on. They would be destitute. So they passed their lands down so that the children and the children's children could have a living. Understand? Folks, now, it's not that away today. Now, I'm going to share some things. Listen to me. When you have worked very hard, you've developed over a lifetime. You've made some money. Well, in the process of making that money, you have learned how to trust God in the making of it. You've learned as you've put some of it up, you've learned that it's God that put that up there for you. It belongs to Him. But listen, when you take a bunch of money, and you hand it to someone who never worked for it, you're causing trouble. You're causing them more trouble than you'll ever know. We'll just use a little illustration here about that. And let me just put it this way. Let's say you had $500,000. Boy. And you say, I got $500,000. Okay? And you say, and you die and you have two children. You're going to give them $250,000 each. Okay? Do you realize what you've just done to those two children? You have just completely changed their whole lifestyle. I mean, you have give them money to where they'll never be the same again. Now, you earned that over years and years and years. You earned it. All at once, you give them $250,000, they never earned a dime of it. It's handed to them on a silver platter. And let me tell you, they don't know how to handle it. And they don't know what to do. It'll more than likely ruin them. I'm saying to you, you ought to be very careful when you leave an inheritance of money and material wealth to your children. You ought to be very careful, because you could very well destroy them or cause them to walk away from God. I'm going to show you that in just a moment. Folks, do you understand? Now, all of us, you know, we look around and we say, boy, wouldn't it be great to have a big bunch of money come our way. Publish clearinghouse. We want to get that $10 million. And we all say, wouldn't that be wonderful if we did that? I suppose there's not too many people in this room that have one time or other say, wouldn't that be nice? But let me say to you, it wouldn't. You would be handed a bunch of money that you did not earn, and you would not know how to handle it. More than likely, it would destroy you, because it's a proven fact. These people who get money, bunches of money, pretty soon they are just off somewhere and they're a mess and their lives are a mess. All kinds of things happen. Pat Bolton was just through here to pick up that flooring that David sold him down there. He told me a story. He said, I've got a fellow I know, a friend of mine. He said he got $370,000 2 years ago. He got $370,000 this last year, and he got $70,000 this year. And he says there many times during that, he said he's come up to me and asked me for money. Now, all of us say, oh, we would know how to handle it. We could take care of it. But let me show you over back in the book of Proverbs, the 13th chapter. Go back to there. Look at verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Here he's talking about the soul. He said the sluggard, that's the lazy person who does not want to work. The Bible says in that verse of Scripture, he desireth and he hath nothing. Why? Because he won't work for it. Amen? And then he says, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Look at verse number 7. He said, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. What's God talking about? God's talking about the fact that he's become poor, but he's laid treasures up in heaven. And he's rich. Do you hear me? He says in verse 11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. You see, God intended for us to work. And that's the way we make a living. God intended for that. He knows that we need to work. We need that. Now, I'm just going to give you just a few things here, because I want you to be careful. It'll be up to you what you do. I know that. I'm well aware of that. I'm just giving you some thoughts. Be careful in giving a large inheritance to your children that will absolutely change their lifestyle. And I'm going to give you a reason why. Give them something that would be assistance to them, a help to them along the way. Now, let me tell you why. If you leave a big inheritance to your children and give them a lot of money, remember, they didn't work for it. They don't know how to handle it. You say, I know how to handle it. You probably do. You worked over the years and you've stored this up. They don't know how to handle it. They've never had it before. Now, here's what's going to happen. You give them a big inheritance and they're going to lose their dependence and trust in God. Oh, yes, they are. Because they'll see that big bank account and you'll say, well, Brother Ross, I wouldn't feel that way. No, you don't need God. You've got that big bank account. And you won't need God. You're trusting God. I want to tell you something. Every day, and I'm sure you do too, every day I get up and I trust in my God. I even go and through and talk about my freezer with all the meat we have in our freezer. And I say, God, I don't want to get trusting that meat in my freezer. It's there. You gave it to me, but I know you can take it away in a moment's time. You put it there for me. Thank you, God, for providing for me. That's an everyday ritual with me, not just the freezer, but other things that God does for me, because I never want to lose my dependence on God. But you give somebody $250,000 and you say, oh, I'd still trust God. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You would begin to lose your dependence on God because you would have what you needed. I'm telling you, your relationship with God would be different. Not only that, they would lose their work ethic. People have a lot of money, have a whole bunch of money. You hand it to them, I'll guarantee you, it won't be long, they'll be quitting their job. If not quitting their job, they won't be working very much. I'm telling you, you could destroy their character. A lot of money can destroy their character. Because they'll be looking around and say, I don't have to work. I don't have to do this. I don't have to go in. I'm just going to sit home. You got to be careful. Not only that, a wife will lose her dependence on her husband. I don't know whether you understand it or not, but the principle of a husband and wife and the husband making the living for the family is a wonderful principle. Because the wife looks to the husband and says, I realize that God's given me a husband and he's here to provide for me and to take care of me. Doesn't make any difference how great he does it, but he provides food for them and takes care of them. See, that's a great dependence that draws a husband and wife together. When women go out and begin to go and work and become independent, there's real trouble. No, there's real trouble. Because, you know, sometimes women make more than men make. And so they become independent. I don't have to depend on him. I can make as much money as he makes. It's not the way God set it up. You get a bunch of money and you'll lose dependence upon your husband. You know, the people in this room right now has husbands out working, doing the best they can. You love your husband for that. You're grateful for it. You're thankful for the fact they go out and work the best they can to bring in and make a living. Sure you do. That's the way it's supposed to be. God intended for it to be that way. What I'm saying, though, if you give them a whole bunch of money, they'll lose their dependence upon their husband, and the husband will lose his desire to provide. He won't want to go to work. He's got it made. He can sit home. And what's going to happen then is your children is going to lose the example of a good work ethic. Do you understand me? Your children's going to look around and see mom and dad. They got all the money they want. They don't have to work like they should. And so you think you can do the very same thing. That's why rich kids have trouble. Doesn't mean it's they have to, but most rich kids have trouble because they got everything they want. Amen. They don't have to work for it. Well, I want to tell you, young man, God don't owe you a living. You work. Now, I know you believe that. I'm saying it to some young men who believe that. But I'm just saying, God don't owe you a living. You get out and work. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. But you get a whole bunch of money and you watch and see what happens. Even the children get lazy and don't want to do anything. I'm just simply saying to you, in an inheritance, the greatest inheritance that you could give your children, listen very closely to what John Phillips said. Now, I'm reading this as a quote from John Phillips. He said, society owes much to a good father who loves, protects, provides for, disciplines, and trains his children. He passes on to his children an example, an honored name, tradition of achievement, and legacy of values and stability. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. A child who has not only a good father, but also an honored grandfather, has a legacy of stability and continuity. What I'm saying to you is this. The inheritance that God wants you and I to lay up for our children goes much deeper than money. Now, I've spent some time on money, but I want to tell you right now, that's not what God's talking about in his word. He's saying you lay up some character things. You lay up the fact that you're a Christian, you're God's child, and you take them to church, and you do right, and you live right, and you set a good example, and you leave them an honored name. Those are the kind of things that a father should lay up for his children and his grandchildren. He ought to lay those up for them. That's what God is talking about. You do that, and you'll be more rich than any of these other things. I don't care if you have $200 million, you'll be more richer if you have those blessed things laid up for you. That's what God is talking about. And you know why I know this is true? Because you know there's poor Christians all over this world. Yes, they are. They're poor Christians. They couldn't lay up an inheritance for their children's children. They could not do it. God would not tell in the Word of God to do something impossible for us to do. So he says, a good man layeth up an inheritance for his children's children. What's he talking about? Money? Well, absolutely not. But you know what he is telling us? Every single one of us can lay up a good name, lay up a good inheritance in what we are and what we give to our children. Every person can do that. Amen? You may not be able to give them money when you die, but I won't tell you, you can give them a good name. You can give them a good inheritance. You understand what I'm saying? And that's much more important than all the money you would ever give them. Amen? Now, just let me close by simply saying this. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's a wonderful Savior that died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He is the only way of heaven. There's no other door. We preached it this morning. There's no other door but Him. He's it. And if you want to go to heaven when you die, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There needs to be a time in your life when you are born again. You're saved. You're born again. And you become a child of God and you're ready for heaven. I just want to share that with you because, folks, that's the way you get to heaven. You trust Christ. You can't get to heaven any other way. You can say all you want to. Say, I'll get ready one of these days. If you don't get ready to meet God, you'll never get to heaven unless you come through Christ. Amen. You know what you can do? You can do that tonight. You can give your heart to the Lord tonight and say, you know what? I want to be saved. I want to be born again into God's family. And I want to be a Christian. I want to be His child. You can do that tonight and God will save you. We're going to give an invitation here in just a few moments. And you come during this invitation and ask to be saved. And we'll take the Bible and we'll show you how you can be saved right here. Amen. And you can go out of this place a born-again Christian ready for heaven. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. Jesus Christ died for your sins, and He loves you. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, again, I thank You today for the wonderful love of God, Your kindness to us. I thank You so much for the precious truth of the Word of God that You died for our sins, and You love us, and only through You can we have eternal life. Father, help us to understand some of the truths about treasures, Father, that will help us as we get ready to cross over to the other side. Lord, we'll have some things laid up over there. So I just pray Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.